You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Any concern over a letdown for Arkansas last night? I mean, it was erased within just a few minutes of that game starting. Arkansas beat South Carolina 108-74 at Bud Walton Arena. The final score really was not reflective of how the game went, even though it's such a lopsided score. It could have been, I think, much worse for the Gamecocks. Arkansas put some backups in toward the end of the game. South Carolina was able to score 9 in a row at the end and make a 40-something game, a 30-something game. Either way, it was impressive by the Razorbacks. Two things that come to mind. Number one, I think you had a really good team on the court, and I think you had a pretty bad team on the court.
Yep.
And I think both of them played to their capability, if you know what I mean. Like, South Carolina played to how bad it could be, and Arkansas played to how good it can be. Arkansas made 17 of the first 20 shots in the second half. They made 12 in a row at one point in the second half. Now, it helped that South Carolina, at times in the second half, they were playing like an NBA All-Star game defense. And Arkansas was just able to get whatever shot they wanted, it felt like. And that's – but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I mean, even South Carolina's coach, Lamont Paris, said after the game that he felt like his team kind of quit during the second half.
It's like a pickup game, he said, or something.
The All-Star game, basically.
The All-Star game. And there was one All-Star game. I don't remember what year it was. Like, everybody was, like, playing hard defense. It was, like, it was cinematic to watch. Mm. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But
it's not been lately.
It's not been, yeah.
I just thought it was a good bounce back performance for Arkansas. I mean, we're going to dig into it today, you know, kind of get down in the weeds on some of the numbers and whatnot. But really the one big takeaway that I had from this, and you could kind of see it by the first media timeout, you could really see it by the second media timeout, and certainly it played out as the game went along. We talked yesterday about style of play and dictating the pace of play. And Arkansas was able to do that pretty much from the outset yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that this is a team that they like to play fast. And you could tell the other team, this
did
was way
like
outside
fast.
Their comfort zone.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you know, like we mentioned, South Carolina is a team that likes to slow it down, kind of murky the waters and kind of make you play the way they want to play. And, you know, they had some success doing that against Georgia. You know, on Saturday, you know, a narrow loss in that one to a good Georgia team. And, yeah, yesterday it was not that. you know, Arkansas, you know, really, I thought, did a good job of kind of imposing its will and really, you know, just kind of doing whatever it wanted to do, really. I mean, with the exception of Michi Johnson, you know, I don't think you can look back at anybody on that South Carolina team and say, you know, hey, they had a nice night. You know, he was the only guy who finished with in double figures in scoring.
Yeah. He had a good night.
He had a nice shooting night. You know, was his defense all that great? Probably not, but, you know.
But it was the All-Star game.
Yeah.
He scored 29.
It was the All-Star game. Arkansas, I was impressed. You know, obviously, you know, you want to see what the response was going to be from the Auburn game. And, you know, it was what you needed it to be and more, I think. And, you know, Arkansas, you know, and John Calipari and Lamont Paris both said it post-game, like, it was kind of the inverse of what happened to Arkansas at Auburn for Arkansas. And then
it was the inverse of what happened to Arkansas and Columbia last year.
Yes. Yeah, no, for sure. And I think Lamont Paris mentioned that as well, now that you mentioned that. But, yeah, it was all Arkansas all night, and, you know, it was impressive. I don't think you can look at anybody on the floor for Arkansas and say they played poorly. Like, I know, you know, Billy Richmond only finished with 3 points, but, you know, he had five rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, and 3 steals, and, you know, so everybody seemed to affect the game in you know, more ways than just scoring, and I thought it was a really, you know, really good and really needed performance for Arkansas.
Defense was better in the first half than it was in the second half, but even in the first half, there was no under 4 media timeout. And I don't know how you get no under 4 media timeout if you're playing aggressive. No, I'm not either. I'm not either.
Especially for a late tip.
But I don't know how you don't get an under 4 media timeout if you're playing aggressively on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there, you know, I kept kind of noticing, like, man, we haven't had an under 4 media timeout. When's this going to come? And then it's kind of like in the old days, you know, like when you had DVD players and you would sit there and you'd watch it for 20 minutes just hoping that it would, you know, the screensaver would hit the corner. I mean, that's kind of how you were watching this. Like, is this really going to happen? Is it going to happen? and then, you know, I'm starting to think to myself, like, okay, you know what's going to happen is that they're going to get to like 10 seconds left Somebody's going to foul a three-point shooter, and we're going to have to go to a three-minute commercial break, and then we're going to come back for three free throws in the final 10 seconds of the half. And fortunately, that never happened. But again, I don't know how you play 4:53 at the end of the first half without a whistle, and you're playing aggressive defense. And I think that goes for both sides, because I didn't think Arkansas's defense was very good at the end of the first half.
Yeah, no, and Arkansas's defense has kind of been kind of the concern when you look at you know, this team just kind of in general. I mean, I think it's they've played or they've given up 70 or more points to teams rated lower than 50 on KenPom 7 times this season, if I'm not mistaken. And if there's one thing that you're going to be concerned about with this team, that's going to be it. You know, you look at a lot of teams that in this Arkansas team wants to compete for, you know, a late tournament run. You know, the teams that make it to a Final Four national championship typically aren't rated number 67 in KenPom. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you're going to rated number 67 for defensive efficiency on KenPom, I should say. Yeah, that's something that they're going to need to, I guess, address, fix, you know, how they do that. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't know. I'm not, you know, that's not my... My specialty, and my specialty is watching basketball and writing about it. So, you know, but yeah, I think that's the big concern when you look at this Arkansas team. I mean, you look at, you know, the 74 points against South Carolina, you know, 95 to Auburn, 87 to Mississippi, Ole Miss, goodness. John Calipari calls Ole Miss Mississippi, and I'm always just like, hey, you're the only person I know who says that.
John Calipari and the AP.
John Calipari and the AP, and now me, apparently, because I mean, I was just reading KenPom, and KenPom does it, but, you know. But I mean,
the list is growing.
Yeah, yes. So 74 to James Madison and 80 to Queens, you know. So there's some concerns there. And, you know, 83 to Winthrop, 75 to Samford. 77 against Southern. So the defensive concerns are there, you know,
even with that, Arkansas's defense in the second half, for a large stretch of the second half, I thought was pretty good yesterday. I mean, South Carolina had 38 points at halftime. When Arkansas emptied the bench with 2:18 left, South Carolina had 65 points. Yeah. And there really was a stretch there. I think they got to about 55, 56 points with 17 minutes left in the first half or in the second half. And so you're talking basically about a 15-minute stretch of the second half where they score fewer than 10 points. So, like, there was a good stuff, stretch of defense in there. It's just – it's still inconsistent. But, I mean, if you're looking for – you know, if you're kind of looking inside the game, so to speak – I thought that stretch of the second half, that is an area that they can build on defensively. Now, you had a very demoralized team that you're doing this against, a team that's not a great three-point shooting team in the first place. But, again, you kind of take the wins where you can find them in a game like this where, you know, you kind of have – again, it's a big win for Arkansas, no different than it was a big loss for Auburn. But I think in a blowout – either way, win or lose, you're kind of looking for these little moral victories, so to speak, that you can take with you and build on for future games.
Yeah, no, for sure. And there were, you know, some of those positives that you mentioned. I think they forced 16 turnovers, 12 of which I believe were steals, and they scored 22 points off of those. So that is positive, right? I mean, that's a good thing if you're Arkansas. And yeah, I still kind of maintain that the guards are both pretty good, tough on-ball defenders. You know, they're not necessarily the best shot disruptors, but you know, they're guys who can get those steals. They can challenge you when you're trying to beat them off the dribble and things like that. So, yeah, it that was definitely, I guess, a defensive positive in that game is you know, you hold that team to you know the those limited looks and you force some turnovers and you know, things of that nature.
Calipari's really been getting after them in practice defensively. I heard him talk about, even before the Tennessee game, that when they came back from break, their entire first practice back was an hour and a half of nothing but defense. So it's certainly something that they've been working on. But I say this all the time. It's one thing to know that something's not going well and you're winning. It's another thing for it to not be going well and then you lose a game. It's like the light switch comes on. Oh, we've got – and I And I think that he might even tell you, based on the comments that he made last night, that that goes for coaches too. Mm-hmm. He basically, without saying it verbatim this way, it was like, I knew I had to be harder on them in practice. And, listening to his coach's show on Monday, and then I was listening to Matt Zimmerman last night on the pregame show, and he had been at some of the practices and we're watching them. It was, you make a mistake, he was lining them up on the baseline, and they were running. And he was giving them like that dad speak. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. But, but basically telling them like, hey, I love you, but we can be a lot better than what we're doing. And it seemed like they really answered that challenge last night.
Whatever
challenge that he had given them in practice this week, and again, it sounded like it had been a pretty rough week. Mm-hmm. Chip Souza wrote in a column on our website today, he said, if you practice like you play, those must have been some hellacious practices the last couple of days at Bud Walton.
I think both, I believe Darius Acuff had the same, or the pregame, I guess, availability on Zoom, and he had mentioned that they were going hard at practice. Nick Pringle, I believe, also mentioned it last night. So, they're putting the work in, I guess. But yeah, and you're starting to see those results. You said like we mentioned, that there's obviously that game last night, and then they're tied for first place in the SEC right now, alongside the. It's a 5-way tie, obviously.
I want to get into the SEC talk here in a minute.
But yeah, you're seeing results, and scoring aside, obviously, you don't want to give up 74 points to South Carolina, but part of that was the 9-0 run at the end when the bench was kind of cleared and you played the reserves a little bit, but you can see the results and stuff like that, and you need to go on and build upon it, and it's a tough game at Georgia on Saturday, but. No, you can see, I guess, especially during that stretch of the second half, like you mentioned, you can see the growth.
These stats are just, they're almost kind of unbelievable. I don't know that I've ever seen stats like this in an SEC game. You think about
Video
Arkansas.
Game numbers.
Second half, or for the game, Arkansas shoots 59%. Second half, they shoot 70%. 3-point, 38.
They shoot 70% on 2K.
What's funny is last night, I think they had the exact same 3-point stat line as they had against Auburn. But think about how much differently you feel about 8-for-21 against Auburn versus 8-for-21 against South Carolina, 14-for-17 at the line. But in the second half, they shot 70% from the floor, 50% from three, and 88% from the free throw line. It was an amazing exhibition.
27 assists, 4 turnovers.
Well, yeah, no, that's what I was going to get to.
66-36 in the paint.
Exactly.
It was
Darius Acuff, 13 assists and no turnovers. It's the most assists a Razorback has ever had in an SEC game. You can go down the list. Nick Pringle played his rear end off playing against South Carolina. He said he tried to talk down the meaning of the game to him. But I think you watch him the first couple of possessions, like, okay, that's a different Pringle than we've seen. A lot of games. He goes for 15 points, 7 rebounds.
It seemed
rebounds.
Like they were running stuff for him, too. I think it was like 3 of the first 4 possessions they ran pick-and-roll options for him, if I'm not mistaken. Certainly the first 2, because he got the dunk on the opening possession and the free throws on the next. So
this was just that game where – and I don't even – I don't know if you'd say everybody from Arkansas really had it going. I mean, Billy Richmond only scored 3 points. But, it was – for the most part, it was the game where – it was like the perfect game. Especially offensively, where you kind of wonder, or you have wondered, like, what would it be like if all of these guys were hot on the same night? Well, 18 points for Acuff, 13 for Brazil, 12 for DJ Wagner, 15 for Pringle, 21 for Malik Thomas, 18 for Malik Ewan. Carter Knox was playing, I think, still somewhat
still a little
limited.
Sore, I think. Yeah,
8 points for him.
See it. Yeah, it was kind of total side note. It was kind of cool to see him play against his brother, though. And then the photos afterward with him and his family and all that.
Well, and then Carter. Cool. So when you go down and do interviews afterward, I still sit up in the arena and work from the seat up there. Afterward, Carter Knox was out on the floor for several minutes, putting up shots. Mm-hmm. And what I assume is his dad was down there. Wearing one of those half jerseys, and half, where like half of it's the white Arkansas jersey with Carter's number,
their half
number 11,
South Carolina with
Kobe's number 4. It was you could tell it was a big game for them.
Yeah, no, and that is cool. I remember the first time Carter checked in, he immediately went to go and guard Kobe and like put his hand on his like chest, and Kobe just like smacks it off of him. So kind of like I don't know. It's kind of whenever I do anything athletic with my brothers, it's kind of similar. I once lower rim, obviously, but playing vacation basketball against my brother, I put him on a poster, and I was. It's crazy.
Was it like a 5 foot rim?
I'm 5'9", man. Come on.
Like
an 8 foot rim or something like that. Like I wish I could dunk on a real rim. I feel like it would feel powerful.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got to that, but yeah. Hey, brotherly love, I guess, is the...
We want to tell you about Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. You can come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville, online at bentonvilleglass.com. They've got all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. So you tease this. Arkansas is 3-1 in the SEC now, and they're tied for first place because Vanderbilt
lost to Texas. Yeah.
Pretty decent, like maybe, what was it, 19 points, 18 points, something like
14?
That?
14? Okay. Let me check.
Double-digit loss, though, to Texas last night.
16-point loss.
And I don't want to call it an upset because now that's back-to-back games where Texas has picked off Alabama and Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just that Texas, under Sean Miller, is maybe a little bit better than
we thought
they were.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
But Arkansas, you know, it's very early in the season. We're not even to the one-third way point of the SEC season. But I do think that you look around the SEC and you look at Arkansas and you look at the schedule and you just kind of look at the potential and you say what there's we've been saying for the last week or so, that it looks like there's a pathway there for them to be in contention for the SEC championship at the end. Everybody is going to – Ethan said this last night. He said everybody's going to be due a mulligan. Mm-hmm. At least one this year in the SEC. Maybe last night was Vanderbilt's against Texas. Maybe Auburn was Arkansas's. Maybe there's something else coming down the line, you know, that you know where they lay an egg. Mm-hmm. But there's no clear-cut favorite, I think, in this league. And you kind of – I said this last week. Don't overlook these teams that didn't get off to a good start. Kentucky, I don't think they're going to challenge for the SEC. You know, but they hit that Christian Laettner shot last night to beat LSU – You got Florida. All of a sudden, they're starting to play.
Yeah, the backcourt's up to their potential. You know, especially Boogie Flandy's looking.
We saw Auburn. Yeah. I mean, it's like it's. I think it's going to be a fun race. To March.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it looks like there's a lot of the teams are pretty evenly matched, and you know, obviously the SEC is not what it was, you know, a year ago, but. It doesn't mean it's not fun basketball, but yeah, I mean it's a five-way tie atop the league right now: Florida, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Texas A&M, and Missouri. And I mean, you look at three of those five teams. I don't think you would think we're going to be at any point tied for first place. Being if you're looking at it from a preseason point of view, with Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, and Missouri, I certainly never projected any of those teams to be. At the top, so, and obviously it's still early, but I mean, Florida really looks like it's turned some things around. I mean, you look at, Tennessee and Alabama are both sitting at 2-2, are they putting things together? Obviously Tennessee just beat Texas A&M. So maybe that's something. Yeah. So
barely,
it's looking like it's going to be a fun race, and you don't really, Georgia is 2-2, coming off a buzzer beater loss to Ole Miss, which is now also 2-2. And it's kind of funny because now Arkansas is playing against a team that lost at the buzzer in two of three games. Because Auburn,
nothing could be worse than Virginia
Auburn
Tech.
Kind of.
Did you see what I sent you this morning about Virginia Tech?
Oh yeah.
I mean, they got beat at the buzzer by the half court shot at SMU last night, but it's like,
and the pyro went off.
They've lost three games.
Boopie Miller.
They've lost three games in ACC play, and all of them have been basically on buzzer beaters or shots within the last 3 to 4 seconds of a game.
Yeah. No, that Virginia Tech team. I mean, those are losses that could keep Virginia Tech out of the tournament, and if Nyokolis Abdelaz is not in the tournament, I'll be pretty sad.
Before this turns into ACC Central, let's bring you back, because I use that to just Georgia.
Yeah.
And lost, they're not far from 4-0.
Yeah, exactly. So it's Well, they did get beat pretty bad by Florida, but
okay, so
the point stands.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, kind of similar play to what happened with Kentucky last night. Ole Miss beats them at the buzzer. So, you know, and Auburn, I guess, technically kind of lost at the buzzer in a different way going into the Arkansas game. So it's two of three games. Arkansas is going up against a team that kind of lost in the final moments.
I think
so
if you look at the SEC last night, and this is looking at it from an Arkansas viewpoint, Auburn's loss to Missouri probably was the most frustrating thing that you saw, because you would think that, okay, Auburn's turned the corner.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the snot out of you by 22 on their home court, and then they go up to Columbia, and it's not really a close game.
Double figures, yeah. And, yeah, it's you know, John Calipari was kind of funny about that last night. And he asked, you know, he said, Auburn's good. Did they win tonight? And you know, everybody's just like, nope, lost to Missouri. And he just started just like mouthing things.
Mm-hmm.
So it was funny. But yeah,
it has the potential to be an okay loss at the end of the year. But as it mm-hmm. sits right now, it's not a good loss.
It's not a good loss. Yeah. Especially, I mean, if it was a close game, then, you know, it's probably fine. But the 22 point margin of it is probably not. At least as things stand right now, Auburn is, you know, 1-3 in SEC play. Losses to, you know, Missouri and Texas A&M, and Georgia. So, you know, two of those teams are tied for first place. Another one is, you know, one game ahead of Auburn. So, you know, and obviously, you know, the couple of those games were right there. Obviously, the A&M
mm-hmm.
weird ending happened and lost in overtime to Georgia. And then I don't want to say they got played off. And I didn't get to see a lot of the Auburn-Missouri game, but, you know, Missouri led for, I believe, most of the game and kind of controlled it, but it wasn't like they were ran off the floor. But that's a Missouri team that, you know, it got healthy for SEC play and, you know, knocked off Florida right away and then knocked off Kentucky on the road and then lost at Ole Miss. And now Ole Miss has won two in a row. And yeah, Missouri's a weird team because, you know, the non-conference went poorly and then now maybe Missouri is good. You know, so the whole conference is kind of in a weird place, weird entertaining place, with the exception of LSU, which is 0-4 and sad, I guess.
I keep going back to this, but everything that I watch just reinforces this. Teams are going to have a hard time coming into Bud Walton mm-hmm. and winning this year. I don't know that they're going to go undefeated, but could I see them losing one game? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can see them going undefeated. But it just doesn't seem like basically when they're on their home floor, it's going to be hard for anybody to come in here to win, whether that's Vanderbilt or Kentucky or Auburn or whoever comes in here. Texas comes in later in the year. They're a different – and this isn't exclusive to Arkansas. This is a lot of SEC teams, a lot of teams in college basketball at large. They're just a totally different team when they're in that arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's always nice to play at home no matter who you are or where you are. But, yeah, I mean, they've looked – pretty phenomenal at home, I think, this season.
Team was going to get them, it'd be Tennessee, because of how physical Tennessee is and how they can slow it down and make you play their style.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that at times against Arkansas, but Arkansas had enough, you know, spurts there that they were able to, and especially that big was 11-0 run mm-hmm. in the second half, that they were able to pull away and get a little bit of breathing room. I thought Tennessee. When I looked at the SEC schedule before the season started, that was the one where I thought first SEC game, you know, first time you're playing a high quality team for several days after, you know, playing Houston a couple of weeks before. And again, somebody may come in here and get them. Vanderbilt may get them on Tuesday night next week. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Another 8 p.m.
Maybe Kentucky comes in here and shocks Arkansas the way Arkansas went into Rupp last year
mm-hmm.
and beat them. It's just they seem like they're really, really strong at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they can really shoot in this arena this year.
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, it's an important aspect of. I mean, any sport, but especially, you know, conference play in college basketball. It's, you know, protect home floor and then, you know, win some games on the road, and you know, especially in a power conference, you do that along with a, you know, relatively solid non-conference, and you should make it into the tournament. And you know, Arkansas, I thought, had a good, not great non-conference. I mean, you pick off one of the three losses you have in non-conference, and maybe we upgrade that a little bit. But I mean, you win your home games, and you get some on the road, which, you know, obviously they already got one on the road at Ole Miss, and yeah, you're looking pretty good, I think. And, you know, the better you do, you win your home games and you get some good wins on the road, and you're going to do wonders for your NCAA tournament seeding, assuming, obviously, that obviously it's early and you don't want to count your chickens, you know, cliche stuff. But
count your what? Yeah,
count your chickens before they're hatched.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to finish the cliche. Okay. I'm pretty anti-cliche.
I was kind of hoping that you would mess it up, to be honest with you.
That would have been funny. I mean, probably not the first time I would mess something up, right?
Before we get out of here, I do want to mention this. Last night, just a couple to kind of put a historical bow on this game, it was the sixth most points that Arkansas scored in an SEC game, and it was their sixth largest margin of victory in an SEC game. Now, it could have been like second or third largest. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they'll ever top the largest margin of victory. They beat Mississippi State by 57 at Barnhill, I think the second year in the SEC.
Close one.
Well, I don't think they're ever going to do that again. they beat Missouri by 44.
I was at that game. Years.
Were you there?
I was there. Covering my senior year at Missouri. Yeah.
Yeah. So they won that one by 44.
At halftime.
That was one of those where it was kind of a sneaky, because it wasn't a real high scoring game. Arkansas won 87-43. You kind of have to do a double take. It's like, whoa, I don't know that they beat very many SEC teams by this many points.
Arkansas could have scored 0 points in the second half and still won. I remember that because it was part of my gamer I wrote at halftime.
But you know, this could have been one of those, you know, really big ones if Arkansas had not have taken its foot off the gas. But the 34-point win, that's tied for sixth. 108 points tied for sixth with a game that, if you're old enough, you will never forget this game. Arkansas went to LSU late in 94. Al Dillard hit a three at the buzzer in regulation to force overtime. And then Scotty Thurman hit a three very late in overtime, like maybe the last 5, 10, 14 seconds, something like that. And Arkansas beat LSU.
I was courtside.
108-105.
I was not courtside. Mm-hmm. I was.
Most points in an SEC game?
I was many years from being born.
Most points in an SEC game.
For Arkansas?
Yeah.
Was I alive?
No.
Then no.
Same year, 94. 117, Auburn. That was one of those Wesley Person Auburn teams that they could really get up and down the court. You look at most of these. I did want to mention this. 117 against Auburn in 94, 115 against Mississippi State in 93, 114 against Ole Miss in 92, 110 against against Auburn in 92, 110 against Ole Miss in 14, 108 against LSU in 94. I mean, these are we've made this comparison. These are mid-90s type offensive performances that we've seen from Arkansas, and this is another illustration of that.
They're an elite offensive team. I mean, I don't think anybody can question that for sure. I mean, their seventh rated offense in KenPom, I believe that was the fourth time they scored 100 plus points last night. Fourth, fifth, one of the two this season.
You flying to Athens tomorrow?
I'm flying to Atlanta tomorrow.
Okay.
And I'm staying with my aunt in Decatur, I believe it's pronounced. Mm. And then I don't know if she knows that I'm going to need her to drive me to Athens. Or
I don't know if you know I'm coming, but here I am.
Oh, no, she knows I'm coming.
We need your car as well.
Yeah. I don't know if she knows that she's either driving me to Athens or I'm borrowing a car, but
you know, we can pay for a rental car. I just want you to know that.
No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We're saving money.
Yeah, okay. I'm just glad you're not trying to drive down there like you did to Auburn. I still can't believe.
I mean, that was part of a 4-day little adventure. Myself, Matt Byrne, and Hank. Mm. It was fun. It was fun. Three dudes to one hotel room.
I'm glad you experienced that and not me. Not me. All right.
I mean, it was a whole adventure.
Appreciate
the three Musketeers.
Appreciate you being here. Have fun going down to Georgia this weekend. Georgia, they're ranked number, are they 21 right now?
Number 21, yeah. It'll be my 52nd individual arena. I'm keeping track.
Big top 25 matchup on Saturday down in Athens. We'll see you tomorrow on our podcast. We will preview that Arkansas-Georgia game. Hope to see you then. We're at our website, wholehogsports.com. Have a great day.